I want to remind parents, we do have a preschool class back there as well. So if your children are 3 years old and potty trained, that's one of the requirements, 3 years old and potty trained through kindergarten, we do have that class back there as well. So, good morning. As Larry mentioned, we're starting a brand new series this week. So we just finished with our series that ran up to Easter, and then our Easter morning celebration was a wonderful day, I think. And now, so we're starting a series on the other side of Easter now. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 2. It's in the New Testament, about three quarters of the way into your Bible. Philippians chapter 2, and if you don't have a Bible, there are some back there on the rack back there. You can take one of those and you can either keep it for yourself or you can give it away to somebody else. But if you are using one of those Bibles back there, Philippians chapter 2 is on page 570. Okay? So, Philippians chapter 2. And normally, I use the English Standard Version of the Bible when I preach. But this morning, I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard. Did I say? I use the English Standard normally. I don't know what I said. Okay. But this morning, I'm going to be reading out of the New American Standard. Now, on our church's Facebook page, just 20, 30 minutes ago, actually 47 minutes ago, I posted a post with six different translations of this passage on it, okay? I went from the most rigid word-by-word translation to kind of the most artistic or creative translation, and I posted six different translations on there. So just to give you an idea, if you read through those, you might be able to figure out which translation of the Bible is a good fit for you. But this morning I'm going to be reading from the most rigid, and then in a little while I'll be reading from that most creative as well. Let's call it creative. All right, Philippians chapter 2. You know what? Could I have you stand for this? We don't often stand for the reading of God's word, but let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. So, we're beginning a brand new series this week, and I honestly don't know how long this series is going to go. Well, when God says it's done, we'll call it done. Does that sound good? Okay. And the idea behind this series is there are a good number of passages in the New Testament where the apostles tell us how to treat one another. So we're going to be talking about the different one another passages of Scripture over the next, I don't know, several weeks anyway. And I don't know if you heard it or not, but as I read through this passage, there was one in particular in verse 3, that really encapsulates the whole series. And the whole series is going to be based off of not just the apostle tells us that we ought to do this, so we should do it, but rather it's going to be based off of this is Jesus' example to us. This is how he did these one another's. And because Jesus did these one another's, and we call ourselves Christians, we ought to also do these one another's. Are you tracking with me so far? Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions, because the first couple of verses of this passage ask us these questions, okay? First of all, is there any encouragement in Christ? Okay. Is there any comfort from his love? Is there any fellowship in the Spirit? Okay. Do we have affection and compassion for one another? We ought to, right? Right? So these questions that Paul asks us at the beginning of Philippians chapter 2, they're rhetorical questions to make us go, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely there's encouragement in Christ. There's completely comfort from his love. Okay? They're rhetorical questions. And then he says, if there is these things, then make my joy complete. Okay? He says, make my joy complete. Okay? So we start with the assumption, yeah, of course, there's encouragement in Christ. There's comfort from his love. So if there are those things, Paul says, make his joy complete. And then he tells us how we can make his joy complete. Now, I don't know if you recognize this or not, but in your mailboxes today, Jeff Garr, our prayer ministries elder, put one of these flyers in your mailbox, and it's for the National Day of Prayer, which is on Thursday. And what does it say in giant red letters right there? Love one another. Love one another. Now, this love one another commandment comes up over and over and over, but guess where it was initiated? It was initiated in John chapter 13 by guess who? Not by John. John wrote that Jesus said it. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Okay? And Jesus also said, this is my commandment, that you love one another, that as the song that Larry and Val just led us in a few minutes ago, that your joy may be full. And Paul says here, if the answer to those questions was yes, then make my joy complete. Make my joy full. And then he tells us how we can make his joy full. Okay? Now, so we need to recognize something, first of all. Okay? This was directed to believers in Jesus Christ. So Paul right away is making the assumption that he's talking to believers. Okay? So the reason that I point out that he's talking to believers is because I don't want us to get confused and think that these are the things that get us saved. Okay? These are not the things that get us saved. However, if we are saved, we ought to do those things. Does that make sense? All right. So here's the things he says. If you are a believer, and if you find comfort from Christ's love, and if you find fellowship in the Spirit, here's what you ought to do. Be of the same mind. That's really easy, right? Getting everybody in this room to think the same way, to think in the same direction. No, it's probably not super easy to do that. He says, maintain the same love. So as we look around the room, we all love each other with the same amount of love, right? No, probably not. How about be united in spirit? Sometimes, sure. How about intent on one purpose? Okay. All right, so he says, I want you believers to make my joy complete by doing these things. Be of the same mind, maintain the same love, be united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And I look at that and I go, man, that's overwhelming. That's a lot of stuff. I mean, my wife and I are not even of the same mind all the time. How am I going to be of the same mind with all of you? Right? Well, then he tells us how to do that. Okay? And if we can get focused on the little bit of how to do that, and all of us be on the same how to do that, then we can make his joy complete. Then we can live this out. Okay? I'm going to jump down two verses. We're going to go from Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. We're going to go to verse 5. And then we're going to come back up to verse 3 and 4 in a few minutes. But here's verses 2 through 5. I don't know why that slid over the way that it did. But anyway, I'm going to read it off my paper up here. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus. And I just want to pause right there because he gives us the key to completing those things. He gives us the key. He says it's all about your attitude. It's all about your mindset. And he tells us that our mindset ought to be the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, that's not an easy thing to say or to do. But he says, here's how your attitude should be. It should be the same as Jesus' mindset was, the same as Jesus' attitude was. And then he explains what Jesus' attitude was like. Okay? He says, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Now let me pause right there, okay? That word grasped doesn't mean understood. It means clung to. Basically what it was saying was, Jesus wasn't up in heaven saying, I'm too good for those people down on earth. I'm just going to stay up here and they can rot away in their sin and then they can all just go to eternal punishment. That's not what Jesus was saying. Okay? Even though he existed as God, he made a decision to come down and become man on our behalf. And this is the example that Paul gives us. He says, but he emptied himself. He gave up that position for a time. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found as in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. Obedient to who? To the Father. Jesus maintained his obedience to the Father. Becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and those who are on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. So that's our example to follow. And you know what? Jesus, there's many different verses that I could have pulled from the Gospels themselves to express Jesus' understanding of what he needed to do. But I'm gonna just use one that I took from his Sermon on the Mount, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Some of you know it before I even turn there. Jesus said, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. And we call this the golden rule. And, you know, in some circles, this has almost become the gospel. It's almost as though this is the message of life. You want to treat other people the way that you want to be treated, and that's going to, in some way, earn you eternal life. It's not. That's not the message of life. The message of life is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Place your trust in him and you have eternal life. Okay, that's the message of life. However, Let's go beyond that. Let's move forward, okay? Okay, you've placed your trust in Christ. You've been born again. You've been adopted into the family of God. You are now becoming a new creation, okay? So let's move on beyond what does it take to be saved and move to what does it take to be mature, okay? And part of being mature is treat people the same way you want them to treat you, okay? The golden rule. So Jesus looked down from heaven and he saw us wallowing in our own sin, wallowing in our own mire with no help, no way to earn our own salvation, no way to get out. And he chose to come down. And he lived on this earth a sinless life, died a perfect death, and was raised from the dead. Okay. He gave up everything on our behalf. And he says, treat one another the way that you would want to be treated. All right. Now, I'm going to jump back up to verses 3 and 4 because I skipped those. I told you I was going to skip them. And I skipped them because I wanted to talk about that this whole premise of one anothering is based around the idea that Jesus exhibited every single one of the one anothers that we're going to talk about over the next several weeks. Okay? And this one magnifies them all. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 now. It starts with, do nothing from selfishness. Do nothing from selfishness. You know what? Every time I preach one of these types of series, I start to get these emails back to me saying, you know, when you're telling people how they ought to live and how they ought not to live, you're kind of being judgmental and you're putting a guilt trip on people. Okay? Well, let me just say, when he says do nothing from selfishness, that's going to rub probably everybody in the room the wrong way. Because I tend to do things that are selfish. And a lot of times I don't even recognize them as selfish. Okay? I don't recognize them as selfish as at all. I just think that this is normal life. This is how things go. Okay? He says, do nothing from selfishness. Okay? And then he says, or empty conceit. Okay? Empty conceit just simply means out of an effort to make yourself look good. So do nothing from selfishness and do nothing that's in order to make yourself look good. How many of us already feel the Holy Spirit tugging at our hearts and we're only two phrases into this verse? Okay? Then there's a but. And anytime there's a but, that means that whatever was said previously, we're going to say the antithesis to that now, the opposite of that now, okay? So do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but in humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Okay? With humility of mind, that means not in a prideful way. Don't think through things in a prideful way. Jesus didn't think through things in a prideful way. When he made that decision to come down to earth, it wasn't going to benefit him. It was going to benefit someone else. Okay? With humility of mind, Jesus humbled himself, taking on the form of a human and dying in the likeness of men, right? He humbled himself to the point of death, death on a cross. That's our example. So with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And that's hard. It's hard to not think about the things that I need. You know, so for example, I'm a homeowner. That means that there's yard work for me to do, right? And every once in a while, I get a call that says, hey, could you come help me with such and such? And I think to myself, man, I've got other stuff I need to do. Like I've got this yard work that really needs to be done, right? But they're asking me because they can't do whatever they're doing on their own. Okay? So is there a way for me to come help them, and maybe I can still get my yard work done, but maybe get it done on a different day? You know, it takes an uncomfortable mindset change to reset our minds to the way that Jesus thinks. Okay. Now, you remember back in September, we did that series, that Stabilize series, and we talked about how James said, count it all joy whenever you encounter various types of trials, right? And I said, that's not the normal way of thinking. We don't normally think, oh man, a trial is coming to my life. Yay! Right? It takes a mindset change to be able to get there. Okay? In the same way, and I preached on that for 10 weeks, I think. And then guess what? People are still saying to me that they count it all joy when they engage in some sort of trial. Praise God. It took 10 weeks to change it, but it changed some people's mindset. So when something comes upon them, now they understand that God is doing something in them. Okay? The trial is there to mature them into the image of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the same way with these one another's. I'm sorry to tell you, but regarding one another as more important than ourselves is not our normal way of thinking. We don't naturally put the needs of others before ourselves. Now, if the Holy Spirit's been working in your life for a long time, you may have arrived there. And some of you, I can point to, I'm not going to, but I can point to some of you in the congregation that I see this in your lives. The Holy Spirit has taken you and transformed you into a person who does naturally regard the needs of other people ahead of their own. But we don't start there. Okay? We need to think about this, okay? When we were born again, it's as though we became spiritual babies, right? And are babies naturally selfish or selfless? Selfish. I need a bottle. Wah. I need my diaper changed. Wah. Babies are naturally selfish. But then as they grow up and begin to mature, they become more self-sufficient and hopefully eventually selfless. Okay? And so we do not start selfless. We need to get there. But we need to take the example of Jesus Christ as how we are going to get there. Okay? Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, this is important. We can't forget here, okay? It says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests. So are you supposed to look out for your own personal interests? Sure. Sure. You're still supposed to. I own my yard. I need to still take care of my yard, right? But not merely look out for my own personal interests. I'm not only looking out for number one, right? But also for the interests of other people. Okay. And it's going to take us a little while to get there. So this morning's message is simply the idea of regard one another as more important than yourselves. You want to have strong relationships with people? Regard one another as more important than yourself. You want to have friendships with people? Some of you think, I don't have any friends. Start regarding people as more important than yourselves. Okay? Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Now, we have about 5 minutes. I'm gonna open up the mic for just those 5 minutes, and I'm gonna ask you this question, okay? This week, what is one thing I can do to regard one another as more important than myself? What is one thing that I can do this week to regard another person as more important than myself? Okay, and I don't want to hear about what you've done in the past. I don't want to hear about something that you did even yesterday. Okay, I want to know one simple thing that you can do this week that is going to put someone else's needs ahead of your own. And I saw the microphone go out, but I'm going to read something because I know this individual doesn't like to get on the microphone. So, Ryan Shriver, I'm going to read this on your behalf, okay? If anyone is looking to have work done around their house and needs a helping hand, or if anyone is looking to hire someone to do some handiwork, please get a hold of Ryan Shriver. He specializes in everything from electrical to painting to carpeting, okay? But he wanted to put that out there. He also said, if anybody needs a ride to an appointment or something, give him a call, okay? One another is more important than themselves. All right. What is one simple thing you can do?
It's interesting that you have mentioned this because this was something that I was already thinking about this morning. I will be out on the road this week for the first few days. And I was already trying to think what I could do to make Brittany's life easier. And it was making meals ahead of time so that she wouldn't have to worry about making food, but all she would have to do is warm it up.
Amen. Amen. What is something that you can do to put someone else ahead of yourself?
Rick and I are leaving right after the service today to go down to Indianapolis for a week. Joe and Tarla went to Washington. They're doing the read through the Bible on the steps of the Capitol this week with a very large group of people. I've got a lot of work needs to be done at home.
Sure.
But you know what? Looking forward to going down there and letting them go away to serve God in this way.
Amen. Amen.
Maggie's future father-in-law is doing very poorly. And so what I do and have done and Kelly has done is to proactively text scriptures, uplifting, all kinds of things that they have thanked us for. And at the end we say we love you because we're going to be family. And so we are opening ourselves up to them. And it has been helping tremendously. And it's not a kudo for us. It's just something the Holy Spirit has led.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else. What is something that you can do to regard someone else as more important than yourself?
Well, I can think of two things. And I think they might apply to everyone. Go to work. Be one.
Okay.
And pray.
Yep, absolutely.
So Matt is supposed to be on vacation starting tomorrow, and he has debated whether he should go or not because he's so concerned about his family. And so I think I want to just give you a public encouragement, Matthew Aaron Hickok, that you need to go on vacation, that the kids and I are going to be just fine, and this is a way for you to go and get recharged and re-energized and refocused before you come back and do God's work again. So I'm encouraging you to take your vacation.
And I want to add to that that we have enough people on the board that can take over any duties you have.
Oh, Phil, yeah.
For the last 2 years, at least, the Lord has revealed to me that I have a prideful spirit, and
Let me pause you right there. Nobody in this room believes that, first of all.
I kept it well hidden. And as I try to live by this, the scriptures that you're focusing on today, he continually tells me when I have done some prideful things. And so instead of just pushing him down and ignoring him for so many years, that has really helped for him to reveal that I do passive-aggressive things.
Okay.
And so this scripture is very important to me.
Amen. Amen. I saw Joe's hand was up.
I have one over here. That's loud. My job in South Bend has just announced that I have a new boss. They've hired a new CFO. And I've been approaching it with a lot of fear and apprehension over how things are going to change and that type of thing. And I am really starting to see that instead I should be approaching this as, what can I do to help make this transition smooth, to help make it what it needs to be, and to honor God through the changes.
Amen.
And so that's what I can be doing to help others.
Amen.
Well, I bet none of you can guess that there's been a lot of conflict in my family for a while. And this morning there was some really stunning information that came from abroad. And in my excitement, I misinterpreted. And I need to get better at that, not doing that.
Okay.
And it's really exciting news. I wish I could tell all of you about it. But anyway, it's be praying for something that's going on right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
One more thing for me, for my wife and my sister. Some of you may not know, but whenever there are meals to be done, they both jump up to the plate and say, "How can I help?"
I've been fearful for months to do what I know I should do, and that's to write a letter to my wife, who divorced me. I never divorced her, but anyway, for restoration of our relationship, not only with each other, but in to glorify God. So I just thank you for your prayers to lead me in the way I need to go, to put my fear down, to go ahead and write a letter through the Holy Spirit that she will receive, and that our relationship can be restored and will be.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. And then could I ask you to come back up and lead us in This Is My Commandment again? Okay. Father, we are so thankful for the example of your Son, Jesus, that he willingly came to this earth, lived amongst his people, willingly went to the cross after living a sinless life, and left us that example. Lord, as the Apostle Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Lord, help us to have that same mindset that Jesus had. It's not easy. We don't start there. Help us to move along and transition to it. Lord, I thank you for those that that mentioned things that they can do this week to one another. Lord, I thank you for Joe and the exciting news that she received today. Father, I pray that you would continue to work those things out. Lord, and I thank you for giving Mark the strength to be able to write a letter to his wife and make an attempt to restore their relationship, Lord. I pray for all of us that we would have minds that are like Jesus, humble before you, thinking of others as more important than ourselves. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.